Good morning and welcome to New Mexico People, Voices and Ideas. I'm Stephen Spitz. On today's show, the feds want to expand the mission of New Mexico's waste isolation pilot plant, known as WIP, to now include actual plutonium, not just things like radiated clothes and tools. How can and how should New Mexico respond? We'll ask Don Hancock, who's been an expert before Congress and also before the legislature. Don Hancock, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Good to be with you.
What I'd like to do is spend the first part of the show just getting some basic information on WIP, then talk about the possible dangers of plutonium emplacements, and finally learn how much of a say New Mexico actually has when it comes to WIP deposits. So let's start with what is and where is WIP?
So the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant, or WIP, is located 26 miles east of Carlsbad, New Mexico, in the southeast corner of the state. It's almost on the Eddy Lee County line, but it is in Eddy County. It was originally selected in 1972 by the then Atomic Energy Commission, which came to New Mexico in August of that year and announced that the first nuclear waste disposal site was going to be in southeastern New Mexico. So obviously that's 49 years ago. So there is a lot of history between then and now. I guess some key dates for people to keep in mind. In 1979, 42 years ago, Congress passed a law that authorized WIP as a pilot plant, as the name implies, to, as the law said, demonstrate the safe disposal of nuclear waste from nuclear weapons.
Why did they select this particular place?
I would say, and I recommend people who want to get a lot of information on the history, read a book called Nuclear Reactions, that was written by Chuck McCutcheon, who for a number of years was a reporter with the Albuquerque Journal, who covered a lot of issues, but WIP was among them. And after he left the Journal, and he now works for Bloomberg Publishing and still is in the business, he wrote an excellent book on the early history, the first 20 years or so of WIP. And what he said, and what other research also shows, is WIP was basically chosen because the first site that was chosen, near Lyons, Kansas, the Atomic Energy Commission moved forward with that, and for a variety of reasons, they had to abandon that site. And a few people in southeastern New Mexico thought, maybe this would be a good opportunity for New Mexico. It would create jobs, et cetera. And so some of the local officials from Carlsbad talked to the Atomic Energy Commission. And so the short answer is, and this is important in terms of both the politics and the law, is because there were some local people, particularly in Carlsbad, who invited the federal government to do this. And there is still some number of people in southeastern New Mexico and in Carlsbad, in addition to the 1,000 or so people that work at WIP, that still think it's a good idea. And so it was promoted.
It also makes some sense geologically, or does it to you?
At the time, salt was a preferred medium for this kind of long-term disposal. And just to remind people, the plutonium contaminated waste that we're talking about is dangerous for literally hundreds of thousands of years, or I usually put it as thousands of generations. So there aren't a lot of options about that, but are there rock types, geologic formations in the United States and other places in the world that have been stable for a long period of time, and so hopefully could be stable in the future? The answer, salt. In the 50s and 60s and early 70s, salt was thought as the preferred rock type.
So you're implying that's no longer the case.
That's no longer the case. The only two countries in the world that are really pursuing salt as a geologic disposal medium at this point are the United States and Germany. Other nations, and the nations that are the farthest along at this point, apparently are Finland and Sweden, and they're not looking at salt at all, in part because they don't have a lot of it. But there have, over the last years, partly because of how WIP has functioned and partly because there's been more work put into looking at sites. And of course, the other site that was looked at in the United States for a number of years is Yucca Mountain in Nevada, which is a volcanic tuff rock, not very different than salt. But just briefly, salt is seen as a good thing because there's a lot of it in the United States and in many other nations. It's easy to mine, and it has a characteristic of over time, you mine place out and the salt will creep or close or move to close up the site. So the idea is you can mine some holes in the salt, you can put waste in it, and over time, through natural processes, the salt will enclose it and therefore keep it safe deep underground for millennia and the hazard of the waste. And so therefore, it's a good thing. Two things that were found. I mentioned the Lyons, Kansas site, which was in a salt mine. One of the things that caused that site to be abandoned, the major technical thing that caused that site to be abandoned, is there had been various kinds of mining around and there was a lot of water flowing. And anybody who knows about salt knows that not brine water, but fresh water dissolves salt. So that doesn't make it so stable. The WIP problem is not so much that the salt is dissolving, although that was one of the geologic issues that was looked at early on, but WIP is in the Delaware Basin, which is part of the Permian Basin, which is the leading oil and gas production area in the country. When the WIP site was chosen, the few people who worked on it understood you want to stay away from oil and gas. So they thought they were picking a site that was actually several miles away from then active oil and gas. And so this would be okay. And the thought was at the time, there wasn't any significant oil and gas at or near the WIP site. Over time, we found out that's not true. And in fact, today, as we speak, there are more than 500 oil and gas wells within 2.5 miles of the WIP site boundary. So this area has exploded over the last 15 years or so in terms of oil and gas production. The site itself, the WIP site itself, and we'll jump ahead to 1992. Congress in 1992 passed another law, the WIP Land Withdrawal Act, that says the 16 square miles that is the WIP site is off limits to other kind of mining, underground activities, et cetera, to try to protect the site itself. And so there's lots of oil and gas all around on all directions around the site and up to the site boundary, but not within the site itself.
I think what you're saying is really important. It's not just the oil and gas fracking, but it's these production injection wells where they put back the produced water that have caused those seismic problems in Oklahoma that probably are a good reason to be concerned, I take it.
I agree. And the fracking is now going on in some of those wells near the WIP site. And so that is something. This is a longstanding concern that my organization and other people have had. The Department of Energy, which operates WIP now and is responsible for it, continues to be confident that this is not going to be a long-term problem or a short-term problem at WIP, and we hope they are right.
I want to talk to you next about what exactly is being deposited at WIP now and what the proposal is of the Department of Energy to really expand that mission. But let me mention first that this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and I'm very pleased to have as my guest a true expert on WIP. His name is Don Hancock. He's testified before our legislature. And Don, right now, what's being deposited is called transuranic waste. And what is that exactly?
Transuranic means elements above uranium, transuranic, on the periodic table. So that's plutonium that we're talking about, americium, californium, other elements beyond uranium on the periodic table. The primary elements are plutonium-239, which is the core of nuclear bombs, and other plutonium-238, 240, et cetera, and americium, so other decay products. So these are long-lived radionuclides So they are dangerous, as I've already said, for thousands of generations, but they're primarily alpha emitters. So they're not things that you pick up with a Geiger counter. They're not like X-rays and those sorts of things. So they're very dangerous in very small quantities if inhaled or ingested, but as long as they're contained, they're not an imminent hazard. So a typical so there are, just to give some round numbers, there are more than 188,000 containers of waste that have been put into WIP since it opened in 1999. Most of those, so if you can, I have done this, other people can do it, the workers at WIP can walk up to virtually all of those containers and get essentially no dose of radioactivity. So the problem is if it's inhaled or ingested, and this danger.
If we're already putting plutonium in there, what's the big deal about putting more plutonium in there?
Because WIP was designed for, as I mentioned in the law, it was to demonstrate the safe disposal. It was never designed for disposal of all the waste from our nuclear weapons production. And it was specifically not designed for, it was designed for plutonium contaminated waste, gloves and tools, booties, sludges, and those sorts of things, as opposed to pure plutonium, what we colloquially call weapons grade plutonium from bombs, which has some other characteristics that contaminants. Plutonium is a contaminant, but other things that are in it are make it solid, so it is not so likely to be inhaled or ingested in the normal scheme of things. But WIP was supposed to be the first of several of these repositories. So the danger is this, the new proposal for WIP is to bring plutonium, weapons grade plutonium that was WIP was never designed for, wasn't planned for, wasn't in the plans, to change the plans for WIP to bring this surplus plutonium to WIP. But to do that, much of this waste is not even considered waste. It's still in the plutonium pits or core of nuclear weapons, most of which is at the Pantex plant near Amarillo, Texas, where all of the nation's nuclear weapons are assembled and disassembled. The plan for many years was to send this plutonium from Pantex to South Carolina, where it was going to be put into what was called a mixed oxide facility. It was going to take the plutonium, mix it with uranium so it could be the fuel for nuclear power plants. That process, that MOX process, has failed. So we'll have to put it into a form that we can say it will fit into WIP.
I know that the National Academy of Science has looked at this. And I guess I was a little surprised by that. I didn't read the report thoroughly. I just glanced at it. But they don't come to any definitive conclusion except that a lot more investigation has to be done in terms of the scientific basis for doing this, the environmental problems, the security problems. It seems like what they're saying is a lot more study needs to be done before something like this should happen.
Correct. This is a 2020 National Academy of Sciences study that was commissioned in 2017 by Congress, precisely because, as you said, Congress was being asked to make decisions and was needing to make some decisions about this, and they didn't think there was enough information, so they asked the national academies to look at it. They did a more than two-year study, more than 200-page report that came out looking at all of this, and they said, yes, they think it's potentially possible, but there are lots of issues with a lot of the situation, but especially with WIP. They call it the single point of failure that needed to be looked at. And so I certainly, people who are interested, I would certainly commend that National Academy of Sciences report. But, and so a lot of the information that we have, they themselves say, one of the things they found out is these eminent scientists, independent scientists, including several who had worked on WIP or with the Department of Energy, one of the things they found in their findings and recommendations and conclusions was there had never been a comprehensive look at this.
It's shocking that the Department of Energy would come up with this plan and never comprehensively look at it.
From my experience, it's not shocking.
Oh, really?
We have dealt with nuclear waste on a piecemeal approach going all the way back to Los Alamos and the Manhattan Project during World War II. What to deal with the waste has always been an afterthought. And so it's not surprising to me that I've been working on this for 45 years, so I've seen lots of different things about how DOE has behaved and the government's behaved, not only with WIP, but Yucca Mountain in Nevada and DOE weapon sites, not just Los Alamos and Sandia, but other sites around the country, et cetera, and how the commercial nuclear power industry has dealt with waste. So unfortunately, this is all too typical. We have a problem. As I say, they thought this was a fairly solvable problem. And in the late 60s, they chose a site in Kansas that was going to be the disposal site. They actually proclaimed it would be the disposal site in 1970. That didn't happen. Oh, now we have to come up with Plan B. As I mentioned, Plan B, not because of a scientific investigation, but primarily because some people said, you can come here. New Mexico was chosen. And WIP was supposed to be the first of several sites. That was always the idea. We're now, WIP has been open now since 1999. There are no other sites. So if you have waste that needs to be put in geologic disposal, your options are to not put it in geologic disposal and leave it on the surface in one or more places, or say it can go into WIP. So that's, in fact, one of the things that I and other people are saying, and it gets to your third point, we'll get to at some point, about what can New Mexico say? New Mexico can say the deal was that WIP was the first, but not the only. It's time to get on with other sites, choosing other sites, and we can figure out what WIP will and won't handle in the meantime. But there has to be a serious effort to find other sites, or New Mexico is going to do what other states have done and said, no more, we've done our share.
Well, the other issue that the National Academy of Science raises is the transportation issue, and I want to talk to you about that. But let me mention first that this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and I'm very pleased to have with me today Don Hancock, who is a true expert on WIP. And Don, the whole transportation of the plutonium from the Pentex plant to Los Alamos, where it's turned to this oxide, and then shipped all the way across the country to the Savannah River site, where that's encased in, I guess, something I read, something like a glass-like substance so that it's impermeable, and then shipped back to WIP. All that sounds like almost like a Rube Goldberg kind of invention, that deliberately, a simple thing done deliberately in a complex manner. But there must be a good rationale for why all this shipment is occurring. And so what is the DOE's rationale for this transportation back and forth across two-thirds of the country?
DOE hasn't publicly described their rationale. That's one of the things that we've argued for the National Academy and other folks, and hopefully at some point there will be some opportunities for, you know, DOE will take the opportunity to explain itself and have the public engage, not just in New Mexico, but other places on these transportation issues. As I mentioned, the only comprehensive discussion is this National Academy of Sciences report in 2020. And what the National Academy said is, okay, so a lot of this waste is in pit form at Pantex. How does it get turned into a form that it could be put into WIP, what is called dilute and dispose? So you want to dilute this weapons grade plutonium into forms that it then could, in theory, be safely disposed at WIP.
Yeah, okay. Safely, by the way, doesn't mean what I thought it meant. It doesn't mean that it's actually more dangerous when it's in this powder form to human beings, as I understand it. It's correct. Safe in the sense it can't be turned into a bomb, or hard to turn into a bomb.
Correct. And I guess another piece that's important in all of this complexity is the U.S. and Russia made an agreement in 2000 that Russia was going to turn 34 metric tons of their surplus plutonium into a form that it could be disposed of. The United States said the same thing. So that agreement is still in place. It was modified in 2010, but that agreement is still in place. And the International Atomic Energy Agency is supposed to be involved in inspecting, et cetera, which of course it's not currently the case. So anyway, the idea is, so this weapons plutonium, surplus plutonium, is at Pantex. It's got to be turned into an oxide form and then done some other things to it so it can be sent to WIP. The only place, back to our single point of failure, the only place currently that has the capability of turning this plutonium into oxide is Los Alamos, what's called the Ares process at
So it has to be sent to Los Alamos because there's nowhere else to send it.
No, we should, in this comprehensive discussion, we should look at the options of could the Ares process, which Los Alamos developed and is using, could that technology be used other places?
One of the things that really surprised me, Don, when I looked at this, is it's a federal project, it's a federal policy, it's on federal land, and it's managed by federal agency. And yet New Mexico actually has a lot of power when it comes to deciding this. It's got that consultation and cooperation agreement that New Mexico has, actually has teeth in it. New Mexico has the right to appoint an expert if there's a conflict, and the expert has the right to hire other experts. There's an appeal process. And similarly with the permit, it's been delegated authority by the EPA to decide on the hazardous waste permit. So it seems like New Mexico actually has kind of a stranglehold over this project.
And I think it does in a lot of ways. And we encourage state officials to be more rigorous than they've been, say, in the last 10 years or so about WIP and look at the mechanisms. The consultation and cooperation agreement that you mentioned was authorized by that 1979 law that I mentioned that Congress passed. The agreement was signed in 1981 after the state of New Mexico, then Governor King and then Attorney General Jeff Bingaman sued the Department of Energy because they were planning to go forward with constructing the first shaft at WIP without the state's approval. So the CNC agreement's been in place since 1981. The 1992 law allowed this state regulation that you mentioned of WIP, and that permit is still in place. So yes, the state has lots of authority. In the last 10 years or so, the state has mostly gone along with what DOE has wanted. We think it's past time for the state to be more involved. The National Academy of Science report that we've talked about recommended that the DOE sit down with the state officials and do a more robust public campaign to see if there is public trust to do this kind of new mission that we've talked about.
Have they done that? Has DOE?
No. DOE has refused to do that. What some DOE officials have said to me is, we don't have to respond to the NAS report because the NAS report was done for Congress. And while it made recommendations to DOE, we are not bound by those recommendations.
Yeah, but the state can rely on the DOE report in terms of the consultation and cooperation agreement.
Correct.
To say they haven't complied with it, and they can rely on it in terms of the giving the permit for hazardous waste. So I guess I don't understand where the DOE is coming from.
The DOE has a history of getting away with what they can and pushing the envelope to push the edge of what they can get away with. So that's why I say it. I mean, Governor Lujan Grisham can be involved. The person who is designated under the CNC agreement and by state of New Mexico law as the state's chief representative to the CNC agreement is the Secretary of the Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources Department, who is Sarah Cottrell Probst currently. So yes, those public officials should be getting more involved and getting updated in terms of what's going on. You mentioned I've testified to the legislature. The last legislative committee hearing last month, officials there were very disappointed that DOE was unwilling to testify before the state legislative committee in public session about this. So there are officials in the executive and the legislative branch of our government that are paying attention. That's a good thing. We hope that they will act, and including acting to allow average citizens to A, know more about what's going on and get involved. And so state officials can use both the CNC process. The WIP permit is a 10-year permit that has to be renewed. So it is past due for its renewal. So that's another opportunity, the CNC process, the permitting process, and potentially other public processes such as NAS has recommended. I'm hoping in 2022 there is going to be a much more robust public process of getting information out, DOE actually talking to the public, talking to state officials, trying to explain what they're doing, why, answering some of the good questions that you've asked and that other people are asking that haven't yet been answered.
So we're right at the end of the show, and I guess what I would put to you is, despite everything you and I have just said, isn't WIP the least bad option for disposing of this 34 megatons of plutonium triggers that would benefit both us by getting rid of Russian, you know, thousands of tons of megatons of plutonium, and our own, getting rid of our own thousands of megatons of plutonium in the safest possible way at this moment? There really isn't another option. Isn't this the least bad option?
No, and just a correction, we're talking about metric tons.
Oh, metric tons.
Not megatons of a nuclear bomb explosion, so just so we're clear, so that we're clear about that. But so the answer to the question is, as the DOE doesn't have a plan for how long it would take to do this. The National Academy expected that in the best of all worlds, where all of the questions they have, all the technical issues are responded and everything works perfectly, which they as scientists know is not typically the way it would do, it will take several decades to do this. So there is going to be time. It's going to take time in any case. So there is time, for example, to do the developing one or more other disposal sites other than WIP for this. So that's point A. Point B, the agreement with the Russians hasn't been annulled, but neither Russia or the U.S. are really in full compliance with it. In other words, it was supposed to be happening under the agreement starting in 2018. We're considerably past 2018, and Russia is not turning their 34 metric tons necessarily into this kind of mixed oxide fuel that we mentioned that the U.S. looked at and decided to abandon. And the U.S. hasn't done anything with its 34 metric tons. We need to do it right. This is very dangerous material, A. B, it's important in terms of disarmament and getting rid of nuclear weapons in both the U.S. and Russia that it be done right, under both technically sound and under international inspection. So not only the Russians and the U.S. can think that it's being handled safely, but the rest of the world can think that, you know, they can trust what's happening, because most of the rest of the world, by the way, doesn't necessarily trust either United States or Russia to do the right thing. So we should be doing the right thing with this waste. We need to, we haven't even talked about, and we shouldn't be talking about because WIP is not part of it, but we have a lot of plutonium that's in nuclear power plants, and the spent fuel, as it's called, the waste from nuclear power plants. So we have a lot more of this material than even the 34 metric tons or 48 metric tons that the National Academy looked at. So we need to look at this comprehensively. People, not only in New Mexico and South Carolina and Texas and other places, and members of Congress and federal officials, need to look at this carefully and come up with a plan that is likely to work and be safe and have public confidence and, in fact, have international confidence that it's being done safely.
We are going to have to leave it there. I would like to thank today's guest, Don Hancock. He has been an expert on WIP before our legislature. Thanks also to my producers, Tristan Klum and Ramon Garcia. The executive producer of this show is Lynn Chebecki. My name is Stephen Spitz, and you've been listening to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas on KUNM. Podcasts of the show are available wherever you get podcasts. Archives of past shows are at stephenspitz.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.